From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives from the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Oh, touchdown! Michigan State wins it in overtime!
Good afternoon, good people. Yes, it's that time of the day already. 1 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870. Current Sports is locked in on this gorgeous July 16th, 2013. Boy, oh boy, were the bats hot last night as the Home Run Derby put on quite a show last night. We'll talk about the very unlikely winner of the Derby last night. And two Denver Broncos execs party a little too hard, catch DUIs, and are now suspended. You sure we aren't talking about college kids here? Well, I'll tell you what, there is one college kid who is quickly becoming the Justin Bieber of college football. I'm not lying. I think you all know who I'm talking about. As you see, lots to talk about right here on today's show. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports starts right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartinwkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your noggin. Of course, you know that you can give us a ring right here at the station and let your voice be heard by dialing 517-355-9527. Well, yesterday, we opened up a very intriguing conversation to you all. Now, we dove into the conversation of whether or not athletes should be allowed to tweet or Facebook whatever they want, just like you and I are allowed to do. Well, not me so much. WKAR kind of regulates what I can and cannot say, so I have to watch my back. But you listening probably can tweet whatever you want. Should athletes be allowed that same right? Want to hear from you on this topic as well. As we continue our discussion on this Thursday, we invite a guest, Elizabeth Henrick. She's the Associate Athletic Director and Chief of Compliance Services here at Michigan State University. We also invite Michigan State basketball legend on Thursday, Mateen Cleaves. Yes, he will join us. It should be a great show. Again, should athletes be allowed to tweet or Facebook whatever they want, leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. We will read your responses to that question right here live on the air. Now, today, we shine some light on a team that doesn't get a lot of shine in the Lansing area, and there is no doubt it completely baffles me. Now, the Capital City Stealth, yes, they are Lansing's minor league football team and has been around the area for a while. And folks, this team is no joke. Now, they were founded in August of 2009 and launched in September of 2009. The Stealth are made up of players from the Lansing area and Mid-Michigan in general who want a second chance at possibly playing in the NFL, CFL, and AFL. And, of course, it's all about the love of the game. These guys don't get paid. And to highlight just how good they are ranked as high as 24th in the nation by the American Football News Today National AAA Football Rankings in 2010. The Capital City Stealth sent 10 players to the 2010 NFL All-Star Game held in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And also the Stealth head coach Tony, well, former head coach Tony Tabarro, he was named NAFL's 2010 Coach of the Year. I could go on and on and on about the accolades with this team, and they currently have an overall record. If you look at all three of those seasons that they played so far of 34-14, have made the playoffs all three seasons that they've been playing right now into their fourth season. It's my pleasure to welcome the owner and general manager of the Lansing Stealth minor league football team, Robert Huntoon, to Current Sports. How you doing, Rob?
Pretty good, Al. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So first of all, Rob, how did the Capital City Stealth get started?
Going back to 2004, I was with a team in Albion, played a couple years there, took a couple years off, and then one of my players ended up being a head coach for a team in Ypsilanti in 2009. So I went down, was a general manager for that team, helped them out, and decided rather than driving back and forth to Ypsi 3-4 days a week, I'd do a team in Lansing. So in 2010, we formed the Stealth.
So the Stealth has been around since 2010. You guys started planning in 2009, all right?
We formed at the end of 2009, started playing in 2010.
Now, for those out there, Rob, who don't know much about minor league football, talk about how the season goes, how many games are played, and against who?
Our team and most teams in general, they usually start their tryouts, practices, January. Most seasons start May with preseason. Regular season starts in June. Most teams will play 10 regular season games, and teams vary as far as preseason. We always go with three. Some teams will do one or two. We typically play about 15 games in a year before playoffs.
And when do playoffs start?
Playoffs will start the middle of August for us this year, and the championship game would be the first Saturday in September, which we hope to be in. We hope to actually be hosting it at home.
Where at?
Waverly High School.
Waverly High School. And that's, I was looking at the schedule, that's where a lot of your games are played, right, at Waverly?
This year they are. The first years we played at Okemos Middle School. The last year, because we couldn't get a field in Lansing, we were forced to play outside Lansing area, so we played in Charlotte and Olivet. And then this year we were fortunate to land Waverly High School. Great facility. You know, we're back home where we want to be, and it's just a lot of fun.
Now, Rob, you as the owner and GM of the Lansing, the Capital City Lansing Stealth team, are you guys looking for a permanent venue for the team?
We are, and we're hoping that we have a good season with Waverly. Everything works well, and they're on board to do multiple years.
Wow, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Robert Huntoon. He is the owner and general manager of the Lansing Stealth minor league football team. Now, how big have you guys grown, Rob, over the years, and what is the general interest like as far as players are concerned about being a part of the Lansing Stealth?
Each year we get a bigger fan base. We definitely get more players coming out. I think last year, our first year, for example, we had 55 guys try out. Last year, 2 years later, we had 180 guys try out. This
wow.
year, not as many, but we still had over 100 guys try out. As we grow, I think a lot of it's due to our success. We've had a successful season. We've been in the playoff every year. Last year, we were in three different championship games, won one of the three. We could have and should have won all three of them, but
right.
because we keep doing well, we get more players coming out. They tell their friends and family, and it just spreads that way. As far as the local media, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we just don't get a lot of media support.
Wow.
So it's all friends, family, and word of mouth.
Wow, well, I'm glad to have you here on the show. So how big is the roster of the Stealth right now?
The roster limit is 60. We're sitting at about 54. Roster lock was actually last week, so we can't add any more guys. And all of a sudden, guys want to join. It's like, I can't add you. But we have actively 40 who are at each of the games. Some guys are pretty much platoon guys or guys we've got for specific games or come playoff time. Guys, you just couldn't do every game, but we'll be there when we need them.
Rob, when you talk about minor league football, I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of minor league sports in general. And if you look at baseball, you'll see a lot of players from the majors who are on injury rehab, you know, get bumped down to the minors to play. Is that the same way in football where in the CFL or the AFL, the players are injured, will they come to your guys' team for a few games or for practices or whatever just to rehab a little bit? How does that work?
We would love that to happen, but obviously eventually it doesn't happen that way. The NFL won't take on teams like us, like baseball does. So we fund ourselves on our own. We don't get players from any of the other leagues that come down. So our goal is to get them to that next level. But, yeah, we don't get any help or any assistance from.
And why is that?
NFL is just a rule they have. The other ones, I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Have you guys inquired about that? Is that something that might be in the talks in the future or no?
We've sent out letters to specific groups to see how things work, especially the Canadian Football League. We're trying to maybe become affiliated with one of them so we have that avenue of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. There is a team in Toronto that also is a minor league team like ourselves who is affiliated with Argonauts. So they have that system.
Right.
But being a Canadian team, I think that's why they've got it set that way. For an American team to do that, I think it's a little harder. But we are trying. We've contacted all the CFL teams. We just haven't heard nothing back yet.
Well, I hope you guys do, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Robert Huntoon. He is the owner and GM of the Capital City Lansing Stealth Minor League football team. Now, Rob, just looking at your guys' website, again, if you want to check out this team, you can go to www.capitalcitystealth.com and learn all about them, really. And doing some research on the website, just reading, I love the general team rule that you all have adopted. It says, quote, "Do nothing to embarrass your team, your organization, or yourself." Now, how did this general team rule get adopted, and how did it become one of the most important values for the Stealth?
Most of what you see on our website with our player rules, regulations, and that in particular was created by my head coach, Tony Tabarro, in year one. And just one of his beliefs, and I fell in love with it because, you know, I want to build a solid organization that does things right, and that just fit into what I wanted to do. And we've just adapted to it, and we've used it ever since.
It's definitely a great, great message. Now, talk about the level of competition when you talk about minor league football, Rob. How would you describe it, and how would you compare it to other levels of football?
Based on the games I've witnessed over the years and talking to fans and other people who follow associate college football, they say it's pretty neck-and-neck with college football as far as the type of play, the intensity, the hitting. I've had people say it's better in a Lions game. I don't know about
really? That.
But our defense has been solid every year. That's our staple of our team. And if you love a defensive game, you love a lot of hard hitting and turnovers, you'd want to come and see us. And I think from that aspect, yeah, we could be up there with some of the college teams as far as the way we play. But as far as talent across the board, teams vary. In our league, there's 12 teams or 10 teams, and there's four or five teams that are pretty high caliber like ourselves, and then there's other teams in our league that aren't. So when you look at our scores, you know, you can kind of tell who's a decent team, who's not. And it's like that across the nation. I mean,
right.
All leagues have good teams and bad teams, but they all play for the love of the game, so that's all that matters to us when we go out and hit the field.
Rob, are there other minor league football teams within the state of Michigan?
There's about 28 or so in Michigan.
Wow, that's a lot. Wow. So nationwide, how many would you guesstimate and say?
Probably 650, 700.
Wow. So when you talk about the teams you guys play, do you guys stay within the state? Do you guys travel and play other teams? How does that work? How does your guys' schedule work? What league are you guys in?
We're in the Great Lakes Football League, and right now all of our games are in Michigan because all the teams in the league are Michigan-based teams.
Right.
But come playoff time, or not playoff time, but tournament time, or, for example, the national championship game, one of the games we were in Florida, we played a team out of Cincinnati. So when you get to the latter part of the season, September, October, and you go to those type of games, you'll travel some. And there, you know, there's half the teams in Michigan are in a different league, and they do have teams that play in Illinois, for example. It just depends on the league you get in and how much travel you have in it.
How long has minor league football been around?
A long time.
How, like, if you had to guesstimate and say?
Well, it's been around probably since the 50s.
Wow, that is very long. So, I mean, when you look at the popularity of minor league football, of course, it's still growing. It's one of those things that's still growing and still at those foundational processes of being publicized as well as it should be. What is lacking right now to build that popularity, and what do you see it happening in the future? Do you see popularity growing as years go by, and what new things are you guys trying to do to build that popularity?
I think overall, I think teams need to promote themselves better. And I think in our case specifically, we just need to get a little more support from the media.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's 28 teams or so in Michigan, and a lot of people don't know that between college and NFL, there's a different group of men who play for the love of the game who still want to get into college or go on to the NFL, just didn't get the chance because of either grades out of high school or they just didn't get drafted after college. So that's where they kind of fall in and continue their career playing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that.
Right, right. Very true. Now, over the years that you guys have been together, the Stealth, any success stories of certain players making that leap into from the Stealth to the NFL, the CFL, or the AFL?
I have one player, Jeff Austin, who played with the Saginaw Sting, which is a Rita team up in Saginaw. He played with them last year and actually was they won the championship, and he was the MVP in the championship game. And I got a few other guys who've had NFL tryouts, you know, trying to break in, came close, but just haven't got there yet.
Right.
But, and again, that's our goal, is to get these guys to that next level.
Right. So, and I didn't even know, as far as Michigan State, because you guys are in the Lansing area, as far as players that have played for Michigan State's football team, have a lot of them come over to the Lansing stuff and try things? I think you talked about C.L. Rucker. Is C.L. Rucker a part of your guys' squad?
Yeah,
right now?
We got Chris Rucker, and we have A.J. Jimerson on our team right now.
So you do see that trend a lot then. Michigan State football players that possibly didn't get that chance to play in the NFL, they do come to the Lansing Stealth. And what's the success rate been with those players who come along?
Well, AJ and Chris have been with us for this season only so far. And right now they've been huge on offense with the play they've had, the catches, you know, the touchdown. I mean, they're key players for us. They're making a big difference in our offense. So, yeah, glad to have them. And we've had Michael Jordan play a game with us last year, and we had Dwayne Holmes play a game with us earlier in the year. Again, these are the platoon guys that don't play all the games.
Right, right.
So,
wow, that is great. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Robert Huntoon of Capital City Lansing Stealth Minor League football team. Rob is the owner and general manager with that team. Now, looking at your guys' website again, Rob, and to see some of the platforms that you guys have all adopted, they are pretty admirable. Just to read a few, if you go on the website and look and go to the About tab, you'll see some of the platforms such as Family Comes First. No matter what the situation, the problems, the responsibility, you need to take care of the people that matter the most to you. These are the people that count on you to be the best you can be at all costs. It's our players that they come first, regardless of the football situation. Worker school, this is number two. Worker school comes second. Realize this, there is no paycheck to play in minor league football. So therefore, you need to work in order to take care of the first point above, which is family comes first. Now, your professional career takes precedence over your recreational football league until the day comes that you earn a living by playing football. Your allegiance is to your career. I mean, I can go on and on. Very admirable platforms other than the game of football. When guys go out and play for the Lansing Stealth, Rob, what do you want them to learn about not only the game on the gridiron, but about life?
I want them to know, first of all, that there are people who want to see them succeed. So that's why we put this together, so they can keep playing. I want them to go out, be the best they can be role models. We do things within the community, and I encourage all of them to take part in that. But I just want to bring fun to Lansing and let the guys know that there's a place for them to go and blow off steam and play football and have fun. You know, I'd rather them do that than go out and get in trouble and, you know, end up in jail or something. So
right.
You know, that's the big picture for me. That I want to provide.
Now, when you look at your team, I mean, a lot of these players, of course, they're not getting paid to do this. I mean, this is all on their time. They're not getting the paycheck to do this. And a lot of them have full-time jobs at the same time. I mean, how is it, when you talk to your players, is it hard for them to balance that dynamic of working a full-time job and doing this at the same time? Like, what's the schedule like?
Some guys have issues. We practice 2 days a week, Tuesday, Thursdays, for about 2.5 hours each day. And like we have about 40 guys who play are playing weekly, and for practice it's typical to get 15, 20 guys just because of guys' work schedules and stuff. So to be good as we are with the lack of practice, so to speak, it's a good thing to feel good about. But at the same time, you'd love to have all 40 guys there participating. And this week's probably the biggest game of the season, so we have kind of called out the guys that, hey, whatever you can do, please be there. Let's put in the work, because this game here could make or break, whether we're home seed or not for the playoffs.
Right.
So
you guys are so looking at the season right now, you guys are already in the playoffs. When is this game again? What date is it, and where is it at?
This game's Saturday. Our games are on Saturday, first of all. This game will be Saturday in Detroit against the Detroit Seminoles. They're 5-0 right now. And then we're in a three-way tie for second at 4-1.
At 4-1. So you guys are already in the playoffs.
We're in. We want first, second seed, first week by, and then host after that. And then, like I said earlier, the top seed going into the championship game will host it.
So those who want to attend that game, do they have to get tickets? Is it free admission? How does that work?
I believe the tickets for the Detroit game is $6. All the different teams vary. Our prices, for example, are $7. But I think they're $6. It's at Detroit Northeastern, I think, or Northwestern High School, I think is where it's at.
That's where my grandfather went to high school at.
So that's where we play this weekend. Gotcha. And then the following weekend, the 27th, we're in Grand Haven playing, and then we're back home for the last two home games, or the last two games of the season at home, the 3rd and the 10th of August.
Now, Rob, for our listeners out there who are listening to you and learning about this team in Lansing, the Capital City Lansing Stealth minor league football team, and are one of those individuals sitting on the couch right now, you may be sitting on the couch, you may be driving, and just have that you had that dream of possibly playing at the next level in the NFL or the CFL or the AFL and want to give this thing a shot. You can do it in Lansing. Rob, when are tryouts? How can those get involved and try out for your team? And when are tryouts held, and how can they get involved?
We'll probably start posting tryout information around end of October, 1st November. Usually we'll have tryouts. We'll have one in December, and then we'll have two or three between January and February to get the new guys on board. And then about the middle, end of February, we start regular practices 2-3 days a week.
Gotcha. And tryouts, are they just a one-day thing, or?
We'll have three or four, but they're one-day events. We usually have them at the Summit here in Lansing. $50 tryout fee. Show up early, do your paperwork, get on the field and show yourself.
Now, Rob, for you, being the owner and GM of the Lansing Stealth, your vision, where do you see this team 5-10 years down the line? What are your goals in the position that you are in right now?
I would just like to keep winning games, being there for the community, providing some fun for these people to come out and watch, and hopefully get some guys to that next level, regardless which one it is. There's several guys right now that deserve it, and I'd like to see it happen for them.
And which one? What are some of those guys? What are some of those names that you think that could play in the next level that are part of your team?
Well, you've got Rucker, you've got Jimerson, you got Jeff Austin, you've got Brandon Dunn. Leroy Green, Levante Wells. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
And those guys, I assumed, have they been named to the All-Star team for this season or the Pro Bowl team? How does that work, too?
That will probably, the voting for that will probably take place the end of July, or actually it may be towards the end of the season, because the All-Star game's at 2 weeks after the championship game. So last year they did it late. Hopefully they do it a little sooner so we can get a little more notice of the guys to that want to be in it and go out and excel. I'm not going to just put anyone on it, but guys, besides the championship, the ring, they want to make the All-Star game as well. So,
right,
give them all the heads up they need to go out and have a stellar game and have some good stats.
Well, Rob, I tell you what, we definitely here at Current Sports want to keep up with you guys and want to know what you guys are doing week by week. If we'll keep in touch, have you on again, and give us an update on how you guys are performing, how you guys handle your business on Saturday, and how you guys perform in the playoffs. So we will definitely be in touch. There you have it, the owner and general manager of the Lansing Stealth minor league football team, Robert Huntoon. Rob, thanks so much for being a part of Current Sports.
Thank you, Al.
I really appreciate it. All right, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. I want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 1:40. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. Want to hear what's on your mind? Stay tuned. More Current Sports is coming right up.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, a conversation with a former Lehman Brothers banker who is starting his new life as a doctor.
I can say that what I did greatly impacted the life or lifestyle of another human being directly, whereas working in finance, kind of the end result is more money in somebody's pocket.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Watch this. Oh, look at this one to left field. Back, back, back. Gone! You love how the big sluggers are excited about blasts like this.
That's going to get a truck.
Way back. Oh, my goodness. This cruise will be in the upper deck. Way back! Almost the upper deck. My goodness! Yeah, well, I think he's got the hang of it.
That one, it looked like he just won really easy.
$3,000. Make it another three. Way back in goal.
Another one in the third deck.
Has won the home run derby.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We're reminding you we'll be taking your calls. Well, you know, we'll take it right now. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Let us know anything that's on your mind. We will talk about it right here on the show. And you just heard the Home Run Derby. It was quite a show last night. And I tell you what, a very unlikely candidate for the Home Run Derby won the entire thing. We'll get to that in just a sec. We just finished talking with Robert Huntoon of the Lansing Stealth. He's the owner and general manager of the Lansing Stealth Minor League football team. If you want to know more about how you can get involved with the team, again, tryouts are held once every year. You go to www.capitalcitystealth.com. Again, these players are not paid at all. They are just chasing a dream to try to get to the next level of the NFL, the CFL, the AFL. Just trying to chase the dream of playing football again. So if you are interested, again, you can go to www.capitalcitystealth.com. We'll be keeping up with the team as the playoffs start. They have a pretty big game out in Detroit this upcoming Saturday. So let's dive right into it. Of course, during this section, I am joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, as we run down the latest sporting news. The Home Run Derby, Yoenis Cespedes. Yoenis Cespedes. I did not hear about this name until yesterday. He won baseball's power hitting competition with a crazy, dazzling display Monday night, becoming the first player left out of the All-Star game. He was not even playing tonight, ladies and gents. The first player left out of the All-Star game to take home the Home Run Derby crown. Now, the Oakland Athletics slugger beat out Bryce Harper 9-8 in the final round at Citi Field, hitting the decisive drive with five swings left to spare. Now, Cespedes hit a combined 32 home runs, including 17 in the first round alone. Now, he also became the first Cuban-born player to win the Derby. Congrats to Yoenis Cespedes, and I know when we were picking this, guys, I specifically remember this quote from Matt. He said, "I'm not even going to pick Cespedes because I can't even pronounce his name." So I wanted to play. It totally slipped my mind to cut that bite because I wanted to play it for you and just go back at that. But man, he was something else last night.
It's true. I guess I have to go with the guys who I don't know how to pronounce or haven't really heard of under the radar, and I ended up paying for it.
Yeah, definitely. He's 5, and you know what? This is very interesting too. At 5'10", Cespedes is the second shortest player to win the Derby. Now, Baltimore's Miguel Tejada, who is 5'9", won the event back in 2004. 5'10", that's not that short, guys. I'm around like 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet on a good day, I guess. Now, the 20-year-old Harper, wearing just the shiny gold spikes, they were really, really cool, man. His father pitched to him. He hammered 8 home runs in all 3 rounds. But I tell you what, the Washington Nationals phenom, he could not keep up with Cespedes. Said, quote, "He's incredible. He's an absolute machine." And he was. He was something else last night. But, God, you know, when you look at the Home Run Derby, guys, after about the second early second round. I got kind of bored watching it. Was it just me? I don't know.
Well, there's only so many times you can hear Chris Berman like totally right. go off the rails until it starts to get repetitive and a little.
Exactly. I was just sitting there like, all right, they're just hitting home runs. At first, it's like, wow, look at these guys. I mean, they're smashing home runs up in the third deck, the upper deck. I mean, going 400, 500 feet out there. And I'm sitting there like, wow, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, there's another one.
The fatigue starts to set in. There's another
one. But still, I mean, even when they were tired though last night, they were still bombing them in the late rounds, but it just got boring to me after a while. That's just me. I'm just speaking
for me. I don't know. For me though, every year, I personally feel that it's the same every year. You're going to get bored no matter what because it's not like you're playing a baseball game where they're ground balls, you know, left and right.
What would you guys rather watch, the home run derby or the dunk contest?
It depends on who's in the dunk contest. If it's lately, where it's just like third year players that are on the fringe of being real superstar. Like if LeBron was in the dunk contest, give me the dunk contest every year.
Definitely.
But it doesn't seem like they can get those guys to actually participate. So true. I guess you kind of have to go with the home run derby.
True. And I feel like everybody's done every dunk you can possibly see. But again, if the big names do it, I'm watching. But I don't know, the home run derby to me after after the early second round, I'm like, all right, there's another home run.
I don't know, because
that's just me.
For the home run derby, do you ever see a left-handed home run? Do you ever see a one-handed home run? For dunks, there's always something new every year.
Yeah,
it may not be those guys that are LeBron James, are phenoms. But every year in the dunk contest, you see something pretty unique
pretty
and different. So for me, I'd rather watch the dunk contest.
Right. I mean, Jeremy Evans dunked over a painting.
Right.
You know, one of his own paintings. I don't think you're going to see Bryce Harper, you know.
I wonder,
homering over a portrait of himself. I don't even know how that would work.
Now, Jeremy Evans didn't paint that himself, did he?
No, I thought he did. Did he?
I think he painted that himself?
Wow, he's like Picasso. That's unbelievable. All right. Well, also knocked out early were the defending champion, Prince Fielder, who I chose. The only player. Now, Prince is the only player besides King Griffey Jr. to win multiple home run derby crowns. Now, there are five home run derbies that Prince Fielder has participated in throughout his nine-year career, and he became just the sixth player to compete in five-plus derbies, joining David Ortiz, King Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, and Sammy Sosa. Now, Cespedes' home run total match Ortiz and Robinson Cano for the third highest behind Bobby Abreu and Josh Hamilton. Now, Davis was credited with the longest drive, Chris Davis, that is, of 502 feet. That is pretty far. The Lansing Lugnuts. The Lugnuts get a win. Oh, thank goodness. The Lugnuts, after coughing up a lead in the top of the eighth inning, the Lansing Lugnuts, who are 6-18 for the second half of the season. They rally back, though. They rally back for a 4-for-4 performance from Kellen Sweeney. He was great last night, winning 10-6 over the Burlington Bees on Monday night at Cooley Law School. Now, following on a day off today, the Lugnuts hit the road to begin a 6-game homestand against Western Division teams. Lansing will take on the Clinton Lumber Kings on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. With Taylor Cole hitting the mound, he will get the start for the Luggies. Now, he would take on Clinton right-hander Victor Sanchez, who's 1-4 with a 3.29 ERA. Now, the Lugnuts are still in last place of the Midwest League East Division. Again, if you look at the Lugnuts right now, they're really struggling. Really a rebuilding season for them. Broncos, the Denver Broncos have suspended two executives who were arrested on suspicion of drunken driving in recent weeks. Now, the team announced this yesterday. Now, Tom Heckert, director of pro personnel, was arrested in Parker, Colorado, and charged with driving under the influence and careless driving. Police said that tests revealed his blood alcohol content was twice the legal limit. And Matt Russell, director of player personnel, was arrested in Summit County and charged with driving under the influence as well. Russell had an open container of alcohol in his vehicle and was cited for careless driving, resulting in injury and failure to display proof of insurance. So, guys, it's not just the players who are getting arrested. It's you got executives walking around, just driving around, just drinking, drunk, driving drunk. I mean, this is getting ridiculous now in the NFL. The NFL has to do something big. I don't know what it is, but players and executives are just getting arrested left and right.
Yeah, I mean, this if you're crazy. The NFL, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. And it seems right. like they do. And yeah, like you said, it's not just the players anymore.
You got executives.
It's everybody.
Just drinking and just driving.
Get a driver. Take a cab.
Right. That's the same thing I say. I mean, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars. You would think they would have a personal driver to drive them where they want to go. If they want to go to the club or the bar, they should have like a personal butler or something.
Or just like build one at your house.
I don't get it.
You know,
guys.
You'd think that if they're that well off that they could maybe make something happen where they could kind of, you know, ensure right. that they won't get themselves in any trouble.
Right.
Time and time again.
It's so disappointing to see this. So the Denver Broncos, they again have suspended those two executives who were arrested on suspicion of drunken driving in recent weeks, and deservingly so. Deservingly so. NFL, what is up, man? This is crazy. Crazy. All right. Johnny Football. This story just irritates me. Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Manziel, he has apologized to members of the Texas A&M coaching staff after an early exit from the Peyton Manning passing camp last weekend. Or this is just the Manning family camp, I believe. You have Archie there and everybody's there. All right, Manziel, he reportedly missed practice sessions and scheduled meetings citing dehydration and illness. I wonder why for those dehydration and illness. Now, somewhat of a tabloid fixture, several internet reports tied Manziel's absence to partying. Though camp officials denied such claims, Manziel has already apologized privately to said officials. Now let's just be real with it. If you look at this story, Johnny Manziel was clearly out partying, had a great night. Of course, probably got a little drunk, he was hungover, throwing up maybe the next morning, decided, hey, he couldn't make the meetings. And resultingly so, as he should have, the Manning camp dismissed him and told him to go home. So now I could see if he was, because let's be honest, all college kids party. Let's be real here. They all go out and they drink and do whatever. But when you look at something like this, and what troubles me is that this is a camp for kids who are trying to learn the game, and it's a way for athletes to give back in a way. And you got Manziel who's missing meetings. And not handle his responsibility as a man should in a situation like this, and the kids miss out because they want to see the Heisman Trophy winner. So it's really disappointing. And what really bothers me about this whole story is that Texas A&M is catching a lot of heat for Manziel's recent, you know, this whole thing with him, you know, kind of being a rebel in the past few months. And I just want to put it out there because I can even bring up the Aaron Hernandez situation a little bit, because with Aaron Hernandez, I don't know if you guys were paying attention this past weekend, but they were trying to blame Urban Meyer in some way for Aaron Hernandez's situation with this whole murder to Odin Lloyd that he's involved in. First of all, we live in America, ladies and gents. At 18, you are allowed to carry a gun and go fight for our country. That's a big responsibility. At 16, you're allowed to drive a car and possibly go out there with the right or left turn, probably hit somebody and maybe end a life. That's a big responsibility to have a car. Responsibility is given at a very young age in America. So, and when you look at Johnny Football and you look at a guy like Aaron Hernandez, these are grown men. We give you a lot of responsibility at a young age. You know what you're doing when you're out there doing wrong. And you have a choice whether to do it or do it not. And I hate people giving Johnny Football a cop-out and blaming things on Texas A&M. And the same thing with Aaron Hernandez, possibly blaming the Ohio State coaching staff for his whole fiasco that he's going through right now. It's absolutely ridiculous, guys. What do you guys think about it?
What I want to know is if Johnny Manziel has something else come out. Maybe he opens up on SEC Media Day this Wednesday in front of 1,200 people. Maybe he cites the reason he left. Maybe he says, I honestly went out the night before. What I want to know is, does any of this affect the ESPY Awards for Breakthrough Athlete?
And that's the question
that is on everyone's mind. How will it affect his? But yeah, right. I see what you mean. Yeah, because it definitely paints his public perception in a different light. And it seems like more and more of these negative things are coming out
about
him.
It's like King Jeffrey from Game of Thrones or something.
Just take a weekend off, Johnny. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're not right. at College Station. You know, you're out in, I believe it's what, Shreveport, Louisiana,
yeah.
for
a
Peyton Manning, you know, a Manning family football camp. I feel like that would be such an honor that you would, you know, kind of stay in line and just, you know, it's a weekend camp. Like,
exactly.
What are you doing?
I have no idea. It really rubs me the wrong way when individuals are just trying to give them a cop-out saying, oh, well, you know, Texas A&M should do a better job at mentoring their athletes. These are grown men. And the other thing is, and I got to get this off my chest because I really had this harping on my chest when I drove into work this morning, guys. I hate how individuals out there try to give responsibility so much, and I believe too much, and put the blame on athletic programs in college when they're really not to blame. A college program cannot totally reverse other influences through an individual's life that have gone through and taken place 18 years. You can't reverse 18 years of possibly bad parenting or bad upbringing. You can't reverse that in 4 years. You know what I mean? So I think when you look at this whole situation, and even with Aaron Hernandez and them blaming possibly Urban Meyer for something to do with his whole fiasco that he's going through, and now you look at Johnny Football with Texas A&M taking blame, that has nothing to do with Texas A&M. That has nothing to do with Ohio State. That has to do with how these individuals were brought up, the mindset they have, and their lack of responsibility as a man.
Yeah, and you know, Johnny Football, he's all over, you know, you'd think he would kind of realize after getting a bunch of flack for a tweet or something that as right. minuscule as that he would realize, wow, I really got to kind of check myself here and, you know, maybe stay out of the limelight, maybe lay low for a while, but it does not seem to be, you know, in his operating procedure. He can't do it. He's always making headlines, and it
always.
Seems like just for dumber and dumber reasons. Now, if it comes out that he was actually sick.
Okay, then I'll take back everything I just
okay.
said.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, world peace to the Knicks. Meta World Peace has reached an agreement in principle to a 2-year deal with the New York Knicks. Now, the person spoke on condition who gave this information away because it's not official yet. It's not totally official, but talks are reaching Yahoo, ESPN, about him signing with the Knicks. Now, they speak on the condition of being anonymous because the process is still underway, but World Peace is waived. He was waived by the L.A. Lakers by way of their amnesty clause on Thursday, then cleared waivers on Sunday night and thus became a free agent. Now, he will still be paid the $7.7 million that was owed to him by the Lakers, as well as the $1.6 million he's expected to be paid by the Knicks. Now, the second year of this deal is expected to be a player option. So it looks like Meta is going to be a Knick. That's interesting because, you know, he grew up in the New York area. So congrats to Meta. It's good to see him because I was really going to miss him. I just love his personality sometimes. I was really going to miss him if right. he went to China. So also, Derrick Rose, Bulls star point guard Derrick Rose, said at an Adidas event in Madrid, Spain, that he's going to be ready for the first game of the 2013-14 NBA season. He is 100%. That is what he is saying, ladies and gents. I can't wait to see him out there. Now, earlier on in the year, Rose said he wouldn't return until he's 110% ready. Rose is medically cleared in February from a left ACL injury, but sat out for the entire season in the Bulls' short postseason playoff run. Now, Bulls coach Tom Thibodeau said, quote, "You can't be out the amount of time that he has and been without going through an adjustment period when he comes back. That will be normal. But from a physical and mental standpoint, he's terrific. We feel good that we have Kirk Heinrich backing him up. That's a big plus." So I can't wait to see Derrick Rose back. He said he's 100%, guys. We'll see how that goes. Freddie Roach, Manny Pacquiao trainer. Freddie Roach is dropping hints that the Filipino boxing legend may be nearing the end of his career. Now, the once unseemingly just untouchable force of Manny Pacquiao, he finds himself at a major crossroads, having lost his last two fights to Timothy Bradley and Juan Manuel Marquez. He's now gearing up for a fight with Brandon Rios in China that will take place out in November. Now, if you look at those last two fights, I gotta note that there was a lot of controversy over the Timothy Bradley fight, many calling it one of the worst calls in boxing history. So ideally, if you really look at it, want to be real about it, he's split 1-1 in his last two fights. Now, of course, Juan Manuel Marquez, he just completely knocked out Manny Pacquiao, caught him with a great punch. Now, Roach's trainer and friend stated that if Manny Pacquiao were knocked out again, it would signal the end of his illustrious career. He says, quote, "It's over. 100% if Pacquiao is knocked out by Rios." That's what Roach said. "We have a deal. When I tell him it's over, he'll say it's over and that's it. He's pretty loyal with his words, and if that happens, it will be the end." Guys, do you see Manny getting knocked out in November?
Well, I haven't looked into Brandon Rios, but let me tell you, after the fight that is debatably the worst call in history, I don't really see him faltering too much. Because if you look at other past victories at 33 years old last year, I mean, Manny Pacquiao is still pretty much the same, besides for maybe a little bit slower, maybe lacking agility and maybe some velocity on his punches. But for the most part, I still think Manny Pacquiao is Manny Pacquiao, and I believe that he'll make it past Brandon Rios.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get knocked out. I certainly feel like a guy who is as proud as he is and has had such a great career, I don't think he's going to want to go out like that, for sure. Even if it comes to the point where he's just kind of biding his time, not getting knocked out, trying to last to a decision, I feel like that would be more likely than him just, you know, going for broke and getting put on the mat.
Yeah, I got to totally agree with you guys. When you look at Manny Pacquiao, if you look at those last two fights, the one against Juan Manuel Marquez, I mean, he caught him with a great punch. He just caught him, and that happens in boxing sometime. And if you look at Timothy Bradley, he did not lose that fight. So if you really analyze the last two fights and look at Manny Pacquiao and how he's performed, it's not as bad as it's really seemed, as people make it out to be. I still think Manny has the speed necessary. It may have dwindled, of course, over time, and that just happens with that. That's just father time for you. But I really think that Manny Pacquiao is a special fighter still, and can be a force still in boxing today. So, but I do think if he is knocked out. He may be done. And Freddie Roach, again, Manny Pacquiao is a loyal guy, and he means what he says. And he told Freddie Roach that, hey, if I do get knocked out, and I let you know, if it does happen, I'm done. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't think it will happen. And I don't know. There's still a little part in me that really wants to see Floyd and Pacquiao fight just for the heck of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But I sadly don't think that it will ever happen. I don't know, which is a very sad thing in boxing. All right, ladies and gents, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/Current Sports. Tweet me a question at Al Martin, WKAR. Want to hear from you. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, how the Defense Department's payroll system is failing U.S. soldiers. We talk with reporter Scott Paltrow about his Reuters series, investigating how an accounting system set up in the 90s, and which still uses antiquated computers, is underpaying or wrongfully penalizing soldiers. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Pick up the phone. That's right, you. Pick up the phone. Call us, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind, including this very intriguing Top 5 Tuesday. Today's Top 5 Tuesday is a rather interesting one because we're going to give you our top 5 players that just hung around the game a little too long. Of course, we're gonna list that in just a second. We thank you. We also have a few Facebook comments from you guys who have weighed in a little bit on this topic. Spencer Ray, before we get into our own top five list, in no particular order, he says, number one, he has Michael Jordan. Two, Brett Favre. Three, Evander Holyfield. Four, Chris Chelios. And five, Gordie Howe. Thanks a lot, Spencer, for your list. That's certainly a he has a few of mine on there. He's probably missing about three of them that I have on my own list. So, guys, top five players that hung around the game a little too long. Again, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports. Give us a call right here at the station. Give us your list. We want to hear what your list looks like. So, first of all, who wants to start this thing, guys?
All right, I'll dive right in, even though Spencer just scooped like half my list.
Did he? Oh, yeah. Spence, you got him.
It was tough to put this in order, and this was kind of a sad thing to research just because, you know, so many great players and then these odd footnotes to their careers.
Yeah.
I guess I'll say number five, Chris Chelios, 46 years old, playing in the AHL. He ended his career with the Atlanta Thrashers. Does anyone remember him as an Atlanta Thrasher? He appeared in 7 games, 0 points. They missed the playoffs. Number four, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
His two post-Knicks seasons, they were the only seasons he scored under 15 points per game. He averaged 9 with Seattle and 6 with Orlando. He was just a shell of his former self. Number three, I have Ricky Henderson. His last game in the majors was September of 2003. He bounced around the minors and still had not retired in 2007. He rejected a one-day contract from the Oakland A's, saying he was insulted by it because if he could play, he wanted to play for real.
Right.
He officially retired later in 2007. Number two, it's got to be MJ. As great as he was, yeah, it's odd to see him in a non-Bulls uniform. Right. He still averaged 20 points per game, but those teams were awful, and bad. He was the only reason anybody would care about the Wizards. And then number one, it's got to be Brett Favre. His last year, 11 touchdowns to 19 interceptions, plus it was just the entire saga, the soap opera that was his last three seasons. It got to the point where Wrangler jean commercials just drove me off the wall, so he's got to be number one. You know, he should have left a Packer, rode off into the sunset, but
right, you know, right. That's how it goes.
That's
sometimes
how it goes.
All right. Well, before we get to you, Alex, we have a call from Kirk. Kirk is on line one. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing just fine, Al. Hey, I'm not exactly sure what specific thing you're talking about right now, but you're kind of in your roundtable discussion right now, right?
Yes, yes. We're having our Top Five Tuesday segment. The top five athletes just that stuck around just a little too long, Kirk.
Okay. Well, I thought you were talking about any number of things, and I wanted to call in and ask.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, anything that's on your mind.
What you guys' opinion was of, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that said that in a typical three-hour baseball game, there's 17 minutes and 58 seconds of actual activity.
Activity as far as what?
Just on the field.
Just on
play
the field?
Right, any kind of play,
yeah,
like a pitch being made, a ball being hit, a foul ball being chased down, any kind of stuff. So out of 3 hours, you're actually seeing 17 minutes and 58 seconds of activity. So
wow.
If you do your little, you know, you do your math, so I'm going to round up to 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get 5% of activity for the money you pay to go watch the ball game.
Right.
Now,
right.
Now here's my question. Obviously, in basketball, you have 48 minutes of activity because the time clock doesn't come on or whatever. In hockey, you have 60 minutes of activity. But what about football? I mean, there's a lot of standing around in football, too. What kind of percentage do you think you have in football in terms of activity versus inactivity?
That's a very intriguing topic. Kirk, first of all, thanks a lot for your call. That's a very good discussion. Well, let's talk about it right now, guys.
Well, I feel like a few years ago I read somewhere, you know, I can't attribute this to anyone, but I feel like there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 minutes of game action for a football game, and I know that's why college football has made so many strides to try and shorten the game, whether it's, you know, reducing kickoff things or, you know, you can't
just
stop,
yeah,
you know, the clock stoppages inside of 2 minutes. Now it's only inside of 2 minutes instead of all the time for first downs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely tinkering with it, but baseball, you can kind of embrace that because that's just part of baseball. It takes forever. It can end whenever. You know, baseball kind of embraces the slow pace, but football, it seems like they're trying to speed it up a little bit. So right. I feel like they are aware of the problem and a little concerned by it, but it is a little outrageous.
It is, and my engineer, Aaron, he just let me know that in golf, when you look at 18 holes, only 3 minutes of action is actually is recorded. 3 minutes throughout 18 holes. That is unbelievable. When you look at this, guys, I mean, when you look at baseball, of course, it's America's pastime. It's a sport that is ingrained in American culture. And just the essence of being at a baseball game and, you know, smelling the hot dogs and the batting practices and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of the essence of baseball that attract people. Even though there's only 17 minutes of action, just the atmosphere and the experience of being at a baseball game. Or if you look at any sporting event, I mean, when you look at golf, I mean, just seeing Tiger out there walking the holes and experience that atmosphere that comes along with that and the thought process that goes into a shot. Or if you look at football, I mean, the hits. I mean, a big hit could arouse the crowd or a big play down the field. I mean, it's just about the essence and what happens in those moments, whether it be 3 minutes in golf, 17 minutes in baseball, or even 11 minutes in football. I mean, it all depends. So,
yeah, I'm looking for the albatross and the birdies flying around during like a par four when you hit the albatross, like an actual bird. That does it for me.
Right.
That's exciting.
Seeing all the mascots between seventh and eighth. So I'm right. To answer Kirk's question, is it worth the investment of going to a 3-hour baseball game? Yes, because you wouldn't see the Dunkin' Donut race. You wouldn't
right. It's
see
the atmosphere, yeah.
You wouldn't see the most wildest things that can somehow happen to a baseball game. It's that aesthetic moment of something that you never thought you'd ever see. And who knows when you're going to see it.
Right.
And that's why, you know, these TV rights are so huge, because when you're watching on TV, you get 17 different replays in between every play in football. I mean, that's why there's such a big push for making these broadcasts better and more inclusive and including more, you know, looks at what happened or look at the you know, behind the scenes stuff, because they have a lot of time to kill.
Yeah, they have a lot of downtime. You know, and that makes it gives you a different perspective on the game. I love when they go in the locker room, especially during college basketball. If you look at the NCAA tournament that just happened and they went in the locker room and you got John Beilein giving his post game or his pregame speeches and
right,
all that. I mean, that
right.
stuff is riveting TV. And, you know, even though you may only get a few minutes of actual action, well, not in basketball, I mean, that's constant action, but in other sports, you may only get a few minutes of that. At the same time, it's the atmosphere and that experience of being there and seeing that is what makes sports one of the greatest things ever.
Yeah, and actually, this is another concept to think about just real quickly. You look at baseball and the advertising, the staff they put into putting entertainment into the seats. How do you compare baseball entertainment to basketball and hockey? Because there's so much more action going on and there's less advertising. So would basketball and hockey be able to kind of get people in the seats without maybe the advertising that baseball would put in? Because of all the extra stall time in baseball, then you compare.
Right, right.
I think I personally feel that you can get it done just as well.
Right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Kirk, for calling. It's a very intriguing topic. I'm going to put that in my pocket to discuss later on down the line, because I think that's a very interesting aspect to sports in general. All right, what's your top five list? The top five athletes that just stuck around the game a little too long.
Yeah, I'll go quickly here. Number five, I actually have Michael Jordan, not a little bit lower than some of you might have him.
Right.
Number four, this is a guy that when I'm playing an MLB 2K game or if I'm sitting at home, I'm going down the list and this guy. He comes across the roster and I look at it and say, he just looks too old for this game. He is older than the game
even
itself.
Even in a video game.
Exactly. So number four for me is Omar Vizquel. I mean, with the Blue Jays right. and then the White Sox. I mean, this guy's right. just been around for a long time.
Long time.
Number three, Brett Favre. Number two, I actually have Tracy McGrady. I personally felt that after he finished his stint with Houston and then Yao Ming went down, I felt like he's just been kind of sticking around to win a championship because he really couldn't do that himself throughout the league.
Very true.
See Juwan Howard as well, now a two-time NBA champion, riding the bench for the Miami Heat.
Riding the bench, in a suit, looking fly every game, just winning championships,
right.
in a suit.
But you can't say he stuck around too long because now he's winning titles.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then number one, who can forget minor league comeback of 50-year-old PED-stunted Roger Clemens.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very true.
Nice
all right, my list, guys. Five on up. Patrick Ewing, Matt, you stole my thunder on that one. Patrick, just around the game, too long. Pat, you should have hung it up a while ago. this may be a surprise to many, but Muhammad Ali is on my list, guys. I think Ali, he didn't have to stick around the game as long as he did. Of course, Ali is widely accepted as the greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest boxer alive. But he was one of those guys that just stayed around the game a little too long and finished his career with a 56-5 record. And I think if he didn't stick around a little too long, he may not have, you know, had the amount of damage that he had to his head, and possibly would have been better off today. Moving on now, Michael Jordan, he's definitely on my list. Mike should have hung up with Sneaks a while ago. It hurt seeing him in the Wizards jersey. Jerry Rice is another guy, even though the greatest wide receiver of all time. I think Jerry should have hung up a while ago as well. And Brett Favre. So that rounds out my list. Give us your list. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and let us know what your list looks like. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shark and Matt Lucky, production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Robert Huntoon from the Lansing Stealth Minor League Football Team for joining us. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3's Lansing. Be easy, people.